What's important when it happened was to make sure that medical care was getting to Mr. Whittington. That's where all the attention was focused, and making sure he was getting to the hospital.
Everybody agrees that that's fine.
That's correct.
And that doesn't, didn't seem to me that that would take an inordinate amount of time. It certainly
wouldn't take. This is happening Saturday evening.
But you've got, you've got a situation room here. You've got people who monitor stuff. It's impossible to find out. I mean, the vice president knew immediately, oh, no, I've shot somebody accidentally, and it takes 22
hours. You know what his first reaction was? His first reaction was go to Mr. Whittington and get his team in there to provide him medical care.
Scotty, we're going in circles here, and I'm not going to give up first. I'm going to make you give up first. Nobody asked you what the vice president's first reaction was. They asked you, once the man was at the hospital, why didn't they make the phone call to Washington? You're saying, well, they were concerned. No, the question is, why didn't they make the phone call? Well, you got to understand his first reaction. No, after he was taken to the hospital, why didn't they make the call? Well, information trickled in throughout the night. No, why didn't they make the call, Scotty?
Why is it that it took so long for the president, for you, for anybody else to know that the vice president accidentally shot somebody?
Early the next morning.
Now, Scotty, did he ask you what happened early the next morning? No, he didn't ask you that, Scotty. He asked you why it took them so long. You keep talking about Sunday morning. We're talking about Saturday evening. They put the dude in the hospital. They close the doors. They go to let the driver know that the door is closed, and they take off. And for the next 9 hours, you know, after Cheney shot that guy, you know what they did? They went back to Mrs. Armstrong's house and had a big, hearty roast beef dinner. Now, I'm telling you, I never shot anybody in my whole life. But I just kind of have a feeling if I shot a friend in the face, I just don't know if I'd be up for a big meal, would you? Here we got Cheney with his 5 heart attacks, eating a hearty roast beef dinner and drinking alcohol and firing guns. Boy, the bastard lives on the edge, doesn't he? But yeah, somehow, after he shot his friend in the face and they were so concerned, oh, you got to understand the vice president's first reaction. Oh my God, I shot my friend. Oh my God, oh my God. Can somebody get me a big, big roast beef dinner, mashed potatoes and gravy and stuffing and cornbread and beans and pie and every goddamn thing you can think of in this world? Oh, he was shot, wasn't he?
Well, early the next morning, Mrs. Armstrong reached out to the Corpus paper. That's her local paper to provide them information.
Well, saying that you don't know within the White House?
Listen again to what I said. Listen again to what I said. First priority is making sure Mr. Whittington is receiving medical care.
You know, I'm not a violent man, but I think Scotty should have to pay a price every time they ask him question A and he tries to answer question V. I think every time he starts talking about the president's first priority, he should be slapped in the face. And then someone say, no, we're talking about after that, you asshole. And every time you start talking about Cheney's first priority, then we're going to slap you in the damn face 55 more times, Scotty.
Secondary to that is making sure you get the facts together and then, as quickly as possible, provide that information to the public.
Which is what they didn't do, which is why everyone is peppering you with why not questions.
Now, the vice president agreed with Mrs. Armstrong that it was best that she provide that information publicly first.
I think that's proof he was drunk. Why in the world would the vice president turn over to a Texas landowner the responsibility of informing the nation and the police department that Cheney just shot a guy? Of course, the reasons are clear. Apparently, Mrs. Armstrong was less drunk than Cheney and could speak. Is that really the trick here, that he was so drunk he couldn't speak? I've been drunk before, and I could speak. I could probably do this show drunk and you wouldn't know it. We all know the vulgar pig boy was on the air for years and years, and only a few of us could tell he was drunk. But Cheney was that drunk that he couldn't dial a phone?
She was an eyewitness to what occurred and could provide the facts to the press.
Interesting admission, Scotty. What you just said was everybody who was a witness could provide the facts. So why did they leave it to the other lady? Was it because she was the only one sober in the whole party? I think they said that Whittington's blood alcohol level wouldn't be available for weeks. So you know what will happen. It'll come back. He was drunker than shit. And it'll get about a half an inch on page, 18C. And when the Democrats ask about it, they'll say, oh, water on the bridge, living in the past. 9/11, it's a new world.
And the vice president's office was ready. They were on point to provide additional comment on the incident that took place.
Additional comment. After the landowner, Cheney's de facto spokesman and chief of staff, gives out the story, they ask Cheney for comment. Cheney's comment, oh, that gun was loud.
Well, the vice president has a Secret Service detail and has communications which are up to date, operating, and in place. How is it that the word of the shooting and the fact that the vice president was involved could have been confused or delayed, given the fact that that was almost certain?
Well, I think the initial information is coming from his team on the ground with him, and they're just providing an initial report. An accident has taken place. They might not know all the facts at that point, Bill.
They're right there. They're out there with him.
The ones who are providing that information may have not been right there physically with him and saw exactly what happened. I don't know.
So, Scotty, the question becomes, why did people who weren't there explain what happened?
But I'm telling you, but hang on. Can I finish? Okay. But I'm telling you the facts as they occurred and as I know them. And if there's additional information you want, you can direct those questions to the vice president's office.
It sounds as though your suggestions about how to handle this were disregarded by the vice president's office.
I'll keep those conversations private. Go ahead. Is this on this subject, Will? Okay, Jim, go ahead.
I just want to clarify one thing. Is it appropriate for a private citizen to be the person to disseminate the information that the vice president of the United States has shot someone?
That's one way to provide information to the public.
Scotty, he didn't ask you if a private landowner was one of the ways to disseminate information. He asked you if that was the best way, if that was the most appropriate and proper way. And you said, that's a way. What's wrong with you, Scotty? You're just so guilty. When I heard Randy Rose talk about this, she said, I almost feel sorry for the guy, but since he's such a lying bastard, I don't.
The vice president's office worked with her. Well, I should say the vice president. The vice president spoke with her directly and agreed that she should make it public. And then they would provide additional information.
But why should it be up to a private citizen?
It came out Sunday morning. I've told you the way that I've operated and the way I've provided information in similar circumstances.
Vice president always had a hunting license. Whenever he's gone hunting, there was an item in one of the wire stories this morning that he had a license prior to November, but other stories said he goes every year to Texas. I have a follow-up.
I check with his office. I don't have those facts.
So obviously Scotty has a go-to guy, a Jeff Gannon, if you would, that he can go to when the questions are just piling up. He's like at the bottom of Niagara Falls, and the water is just hitting him left and right and up and down and sideways, and he just reaches out. You in the green shirt, you got a question? Let's talk about the hunting license. Oh, good idea. That's a $7 sticker. We plead guilty to the $7 sticker. We plead guilty all day to that. See how honest we are? See how forthcoming we are? See how eager we are to get you the truth? We are guilty of the $7 sticker. There, how much more candid could the administration possibly be?
Will the vice president be available soon to answer all questions himself about the incident?
I think you ought to direct questions like that to his office. He has a press office you can direct questions to.
That's Scotty speak for no fucking way. The vice president is not going to sit there and take questions from anybody but Brit Hume. This is a big story, and they're caught red effing handed, and they can't get away with it. They've always been able to get away with it before, and they're just befuddled. Why are these guys not laying down? Why don't they take my bullshit non-answer for an answer?
You've repeatedly said that the vice president's office will share this information with us. Will you tell us, will you now ask them to share this information with us? Because they're not.
Share what information?
Listen to Scotty the dimwit. For the last 30 minutes or so, every time they ask somebody, well, I don't know, you'd have to ask the vice president. Well, when can we talk to him? About what?
Details of what happened.
I don't know the way you care.
And more information.
Well, Mrs. Armstrong provided that information. But she was the eyewitness to what took place.
And can we get someone from his office?
Why can't we get someone from his office?
Yeah. Is there
questions?
I'll talk to his office. I think they have provided response to questions.
Is it proper for the vice president to offer his resignation, or has he offered his resignation?
Connie, that's an absurd question. Go ahead, Ken.
Can we get someone from the vice president's office in here to answer all these questions that you're deferring?
I think he can ask questions to his direct questions to his office.
Well, the office is going to say, we don't know. We weren't there. You'd have to talk to the vice president. And when they say, well, can we talk to the vice president? They're going to say, about what?
All the hits and more.
Interesting story. I'm joined now by our own vice presidential firearms mishap analyst, Rob Corddry. Rob, thanks for joining us.
Thank you, John.
Obviously, Rob, a very unfortunate situation. How is the vice president handling it?
John, tonight the vice president is standing by his decision to shoot Harry Whittington. Now, according to the best intelligence available, there were quail hidden in the brush. Everyone believed at the time there were quail in the brush. And while the quail turned out to be a 78-year-old man, even knowing that today, Mr. Cheney insists he still would have shot Mr. Whittington in the face. John... the world is a better place for his spreading buckshot throughout the entire region of Mr. Whittington's face.
Rob, why? Why, if he had known that Mr. Whittington was not a bird, if he had that information, Rob, why would the vice president still have shot him in the face?
John, good question. In a post 9/11 world, the American people expect their leaders to be decisive. To not have shot his friend in the face would have sent a message to the quail that America is weak.
Well, that is, I have to say, to my ears, that is horrible that he would still do that.
Look, John, the mere fact that we're even talking about how the vice president drives up with his rich friends in cars to shoot farm-raised wingless quail tards is letting the quail know how we're hunting them. Sure, right now, those birds are laughing at us in that little covey of theirs.
Well, Rob, I'm not sure birds can laugh.
Well, but... whatever they do, John, coo. They're cooing at us right now. Because here we are, talking openly about our plans to hunt them. Jigs up, John. Quails one, America zero. Happy?
On a purely human level, is the vice president at least sorry?
John, what difference does it make? The bullets are already in the man's face. Let's move forward across party lines as a people to get him some sort of mask. Hindsight is 20/20, John, as was, ironically, the shotgun the vice president used to shoot his friend.
Play golf anymore, do you?
No, I'm retired.
No, you retire to play golf. You can't retire from golf.
It wasn't going well, Dave.
Really? What was the problem?
My swing, the problem. Mm-hmm. I'm retired, and I just wasn't having the fun. I sucked. I always tell people, I played in a tournament and a girl beat me. Cheryl Ladd beat me.
Cheryl Ladd?
Yeah. I always tell, if you a man and you can't beat a woman, or you can't beat the smart kids, you're no good.
Yeah. The smart kids.
I don't mean no disrespect.
No, of course, I know you don't.
Yeah, but if you can't beat a woman in a sport as a man,
yeah,
or you can't beat the smart kids, you're not any good.
Now, did you have some trouble last week with the state of Oklahoma?
They are so sensitive. we were interviewing a young stud, Chris Paul, and my first question was, do they have chickens and cows in the backyard? Uh-huh. And then I asked them, do they have any black people there?
Yeah.
And come on now. I'm black. And when I was growing up, a lot of black people say, hey, we got to hurry up and grow up and move to Oklahoma. You never heard that, Dave.
No, I don't know.
You know? Like, we wanted to go to New York City, Philadelphia, Miami. None of the brothers say, let's grow up and move to Oklahoma.
I don't know. Maybe. But I assume there are black people in Oklahoma, right?
See, we got to assume that. We've never been there. You never been there?
I've been driven through Oklahoma.
Did you see any?
Well, no. I guess I don't recall.
I may have been there, but I don't remember.
I see, yeah. But everything's square now with Oklahoma.
I love Oklahoma.
Yeah.
Here's a story I learned about listening to Randy Rose on Air America Radio. And it's about a little kid who got put in charge of America's science. And it makes you wonder how such a thing is possible. Well, it's possible because Bush has incredible gall. Well, not really, because he's never been told no in his life. He doesn't know what the boundaries are. He has no clue what's acceptable and what's not acceptable, because anything he's ever done... You know, the idea, he signed up for the National Guard and instead did cocaine and liquor and Mexican hookers. Do you know today, what is today, February 10th, saw something in a paper, they dedicated the Air National Guard Museum, whatever, in D.C., they dedicated a bronze bust of Dermonkey to put in their museum to celebrate his service to the nation. When the son of a bitch was coked up and too drunk to fly, he knew he couldn't pass a physical with all the drugs in his system, so he bolted and just ran away. And they said, well, that's okay. His name's Bush. Ain't no reason why he should have to come to work. And he's been that way all his life. But this is a thing, it's called Politics versus Climate Reality. It's in the U.S. Whore Today. And somehow this subject was so shameful that they found themselves having to come down against their best friend, George Bush. Imagine, USA Today say something against George Bush. Hard to believe. Oh, but we have an example of Horatius writing. Horatius, and I mean that in both ways. Check out this first sentence. Would that the rise and fall of George C. Douche, 24, a NASA political appointee, would become a metaphor, dash, one taken all the way to its logical conclusion, dash, for the Bush administration's policies on global warming. Now, what did I say? I don't have a damn idea. Anytime you start out a long story with that, you better be saying, would that be a red-breasted... So I don't have any idea what he said. Douche has for months embodied the White House Earth is flat take on why the Earth is warming, with consequences from melting glaciers to freak weather. Working in NASA's public relations, he tried to muzzle... Objection to the word tried. He did not try anything. He muzzled them. A renowned climate scientist who, like serious scientists the world over, warns that global warming is a threat requiring government intervention to curb emissions from cars, factories, and more. This furthered the business-friendly Bush administration's increasingly lonely mantra that science isn't solid enough for those for more than volunteer measures. Ready? This furthered the business-friendly Bush administration's increasingly lonely mantra. Holy Jesus Christ, can you conjugate that on a blackboard? I guess the subject is mantra. One of the adjectives is lonely mantra. The adjective is modified by the increasingly lonely mantra. And then that's preceded by Okay, the mantra belongs to, it's possessive from, the administrations, which is preceded by the modifier Bush, which is preceded by the modifier business-friendly. So the business-friendly Bush administration's possessive now, increasingly lonely mantra. What is wrong with people that can't write? Anytime you have six words to describe one other word, you got a problem on your hands. What's wrong with USA Today that they can't figure that out? This furthered the business-friendly Bush administration's increasingly lonely mantra that the science isn't solid enough for more than voluntary measures. But scientific consensus long ago moved on. The issue now is not whether global warming is happening, but how severe the effects will be. Okay, they go on and on and on, yappy, yappy, yappy. That's why I like listening to Randy Rhodes. Boy, she cuts to it real fast. What happened now? This kid was 24, this George douche. He's 24 years old, and he faked a resume. I think it was from Texas A&M, said he had a journalism degree. So obviously, if you have a fake degree in journalism from a Texas school, you get put in charge of NASA. Now, what happened? Anytime a NASA scientist wanted to release a report, they had to send it over to this douche boy. And this douche boy would go through it, and whenever they said global warming, he would write, the theory of global warming. And any time it said dire consequences, he would write, oh, the alleged potential for dire consequences, like that. Now, think what a horrible precedent that set, that you have a religiously insane monkey appointing political cronies to be in charge of science. I mean, they've done this again and again. They've done this with evolution. They've done this with stem cell research. They've done this with pregnancy. They've done this with everything. They say, the attitude or the mantra, here we go, mantra, the point of view of the Republicans is forget all that science. Let's do what God wants us to do. And of course, you know, who are we going to ask what God's intentions are? Osama bin Laden? Pat Robertson? The Catholics? You're going to ask old Bart what the invisible cloud being really feels deep down in his heart? You remember that idiot Pickles? It was, I guess, two shows back. She said, I certainly can't speak for God, but I'm sure he wants New Orleans rebuilt. Well, you idiot, did your second half of your sentence see the first half of your sentence? I'd like to introduce them to. First half, meet second half. Go ahead, shake. Go ahead. But the idiocy, put it this way, the only time science and logic should be thrown out is when you talk about sex or entertainment. If you want to tell me that some classical musician plays better guitar than Jimmy Page, well, I don't care. I like the sloppy, uneducated guy who doesn't know what he's doing. I like Jimmy Page. I think he's the best there's ever been. Well, he's not the best. He's the most exciting, the guy I want to hear the most. And if you know some guy who's technically better trained, fine. Entertainment and sex, I think, are the two areas, the only two areas that come to mind during this live radio broadcast where you should throw out science and logic. Now, pretty much for everything else, when you talk about safety, when you talk about health, when you talk about government policy, if you talk about defense policy, if you talk about environmental, if you talk about legal, if you talk about should we execute a guy or not, how strong is the evidence, in almost every other endeavor in the world, you have to go with the science and the logic, except for the entertainment and the sex, you know. But for some reason, Bush has gotten away with this. The scientists say global warming is a severe problem, and Bush hires some scientists who work for Mobil Oil, some scientists that work for Exxon and Texaco, to come in and say, nah, we don't see a problem there. That's a theory. And so the idiot whores like CNN and Fox News, they say, well, we've got two competing theories here. We got the global warming theory, and then we got the reasonable and logical not global warming theory. Well, no, that's not how it works. If I say there was a Holocaust and 6 million Jews died, don't you get on a Nazi to say, no, that never happened. And then CNN, that Kira, what's her name, looks you in the eye and says, well, there you go. There's both sides of the story. No, bitch, it don't work like that. You don't get to say, some people say there was a Holocaust and some people don't, so it's a 50-50 issue. Maybe there was, maybe it wasn't. No, that's wrong. Part of the job of a news organization is to sift through the bullshit and give us the facts. You're not supposed to give us every wild-ass theory. If someone says the Earth is round, and then you go find some Republican hand job says it's flat. It's not. Well, some people say flat, some people say round. No, we've seen pictures of it. It is round, and everybody knows that. And only a bush monkey could say the Earth is flat, because we've seen the evidence. The evidence is there. But somehow the Bush people get away with this because the Republicans are willing to stand up and fight and the Democrats aren't. The Democrats are willing to say, well, I might think Alito is a fascist bastard who certainly will deny women their rights, as Feinstein said, but that's no reason to vote against the man.
Mr. Speaker, the President of the United States.
Mr. Speaker, members of Congress, Mom and Dad, last month a girl in Lincoln, Rhode Island sent me a letter. It began, Dear George W. Bush, if there's anything you know, please send me a letter. P.S. Kiss my ass. Dick is a killer. It began the end of June in the Casablanca. Vice President Cheney, he showed the way. Terrified and innocent, the desire growing stronger, submitting to the whim of one brutal man. I feel free, I feel free, I feel free, I feel free. Dick is a killer. I feel free. Last August the 11th, on the deck of a carrier in the Pacific, I gave to you my complete commitment, and it is right. I love you, and I do not want to lose you. My purposes are just and true. Activity is increasing, and Dick is on the rise. By executive order on the manhunt aboard the Starship Enterprise, the once all-powerful ruler of Iraq was found in a hole. President Clinton fucked it.
A couple of years ago, a band called Great White was playing a gig. I think it was in Rhode Island, and a lot of people died. My guess, around 100 people died, about another 200 were injured, I'm sure some of them very seriously. But it turns out the manager for the Great White Band is going to go to prison. Looks like he might go for about 10 years. I think this is probably an outrage, and it has to do with Dealey Plaza. There are two Dealey Plaza stories in this issue. And the point is, if you're going to hold this guy responsible for the big fire at the Great White concert in Rhode Island, I think somebody from the Secret Service should have to have been not executed, but done hard time for allowing the president to drive through Dealey Plaza in a convertible so any hand job with a rifle could change history. After Dealey Plaza, it became real obvious that you shouldn't do that. Now, it's easy to say afterwards, dude, where was your head? But to me, the Dealey Plaza is a whole lot like this fire in Rhode Island. I remember at the time, there was some kind of testimony about they'd played New York a week earlier and a New York nightclub called the Rhode Island nightclub and said, watch out, they're using pyrotechnics or something. Things like that could factor into this. I don't know. That wasn't in the article I just read. So I'm making an observation and I'm forming an opinion without all the evidence. I admit that. Now, I've owned a couple of nightclubs. One of them is the Hard Rock Island. And yeah, one of the big things you get is the neighbors complain. Oh my God, a band like Great White, they're going to bring in the big amps. They're going to be loud. And if you got a home or some apartments 100 feet away, they're going to call the cops. Cops show up, tell the band to turn it down. Band says, we can't turn it down. We're a hard rock band. You can't do that softly. You got to rock, you know? So what does a club do? They go out and buy this sound deadening foam, which is a little creepy because I'm sitting in a room that's lined with sound deadening foam, though you wouldn't know it from the sound. Problem is, I personally put the foam on the walls, and I don't know what the hell I'm doing. Tommy Mac's supposed to come here this month, and we're going to take everything out of the room. We're going to line the entire room with the sound-deadening foam, but gee, I hope it's not the flammable kind. So the nightclub lines the place with foam. Turns out the foam is flammable. Now, again, if there was some evidence, if the evidence came in and said, I sold him that foam, but I told him at the time, well, why would you want to sell foam that's extremely flammable? I don't get that. Now, see, I just don't know if the manager of Great White should be going to prison because these things happen. Seeing to me, the fire marshal didn't do his job. The guy who sold the flammable sound-deadening foam to the club, he's responsible. Jesus Christ, what about the company that made the foam? You know, is there not a substance on the planet that you can make sound-deadening foam that's not super flammable? Seems to me like the whole spectrum of guilty people here. But we got to hang somebody because we got 100 dead kids, so they're going after this guy. I want to read you a paragraph here. Daniel Bichelle is 29. He's going to prison for 10 years for killing 100 people and wounding and burning 200. Seems like we need a scapegoat in this. You know, it happens a lot in this country. Somebody's got to pay. So let's pick out the guy with the least amount of money. This is not like, you know, the debacle in Iraq. Who's responsible for the body armor that didn't work? Well, ultimately Bush, but no, we can't blame him. He's blame proof. So let's go look for some little guy, whoever in the whole chain of events, whoever's got the least amount of money, he's the guy responsible. It just doesn't seem right for the Iraq group manager to go, you know. Again, if they have evidence that the fire marshal came and told him, dude, you're using too much pyrotechnics. That's going to cause some deaths. Listen to me. I know what I'm talking about. You got to stop that. And he says, screw the people. I don't care. If they die, I don't care. Yeah, now you're going to prison. But if he wasn't warned, assuming this was an accident, you know. Remember the old thing when The Who played the Smothers Brothers show? The idiot Keith Moon, he put in 3 times too much powder in the big explosion of his drums at the end. They say Pete Townsend lost an eardrum in that Smothers Brothers performance in the 60s. The flash pots, whatever they're called, if they call for a cup of gunpowder and you put in 3 just to be cute, yeah, now we might need to talk. Now that's crazy negligence. That's depraved indifference to the people's lives. That's one thing. But if all this guy did was miscount the height of the ceiling or something, I don't know. Unless the evidence refutes us, of all the people responsible, the guy with the least amount of money, he's the guy we go after, because this is America and that's how things are done. But look at you now, it's dark as it's dark.
Bart Kopp. The truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.